the house. Phil Moss, it's great to see you. Good morning, mate.
Good morning, boys. Do you want to know why I'm here?
Yeah.
To come and see us?
To bring some water in for us because there's no water in the building.
I'd like to give you guys a wrap. I'm here because Jimmy's not.
He's listening. As soon as he won the quiz with Brini, he said,
"Oh look, he's already texted me."
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. Yeah.
Telling you what to talk about, please.
Doing a great job, Brini.
Yeah. Well, hey, look.
Doing me best, bro.
As Jimmy always says, do a good job, not a great job.
Yeah, exactly.
When he's not here.
Can I start on something a little bit nostalgic?
Of course you can.
14th year anniversary of one of the big moments in Australian football, Mossy.
It was, Ray, that night out at Homebush when Australia beat Uruguay to make our first World Cup in 32 years. And I was there that night. I stepped out of a taxi with a few mates at the start of the Homebush walk, if you like. And as soon as you opened the door of the taxi, you could feel the atmosphere that you were stepping into. And this was still a good probably 600, 700 metres from the stadium. Yeah. And that walk up the road, we got out purposely to soak it all in. And the atmosphere, the party atmosphere, but the tension in the air, the passion in the air, the different mix of cultures walking into that stadium in a gold shirt was just something to behold. And for anyone who wasn't there, you really missed out on something special. For anyone who was, you'll never, ever forget that night. And it changed the face of Australian football forever.
Mm. Where were you that night, Ray?
I was watching at home.
Well, you would have felt it through the TV, but not quite.
We were having having work done at our house. Mm. So I had to rent an apartment at Coogee for a couple of weeks. And I'll never forget that night because we watched it in this apartment at Coogee. And then we couldn't sleep because the party that went on in the streets.
Yeah.
Like, there was just noise all
big
night.
Big moment in Australian sport, mate, wasn't it, really?
I've got another one for you on that, Brini. In 1997, when we bowed out to Iran, when we were 2-0 up,
yeah.
I was hosting a housewarming party. And literally, when the full-time whistle sounded, the party was dead.
Could have heard a
Everyone
pin
literally
drop.
Walked out the door.
I was at my mate Jared Grigson's place in Brisbane. And Peter Hall, the serial pest, came on and caused the delay. Right. Remember when he jumped on the net or whatever?
Yeah, terrible. But I tell you what, the great and very present Tanya Thomas this morning made a great point to me. While John Aloisi is the hero who scored the penalty, he would never have been in that position if it wasn't for the great Mark Schwarzer.
He had one of the gains of his life that night, didn't
incredible.
He?
Incredible. You talk about being in the zone. Oh. Now, Schwarzer was not supposed to even be between the sticks for the penalty shootout. Gus Hiddink was going to bring Zeljko Kalats on because of his size and frame. But because of an injury to someone or cramping, he'd made all his subs. Yeah. So he couldn't sub Schwarzer off. Just an incredible night. And it's given us the platform to be where we are today in Asia, 4 World Cups later, and going really well under Graham Arnold.
Mm-hmm. Take us through the A-League this weekend, Mossy. What's been happening?
Well,
big game today.
Yeah, that's right. There's a massive game today. We'll get onto that, but let's just cover off on last night. Western United succumbed to a snatch and grab by Newcastle. Angus Thurgate getting the goal for Ernie Merrick's first win of the season, which was no mean feat down there in Melbourne because Western United have been going fantastic. And Diamante, like Glenn Moss was the man of the match in goal for Newcastle. So Western United had enough chances to win a few games of football. But so Mark Rudin will be happy with the performance, if not the result. But this Diamante is something else. Mm. On a losing side, he was just incredible. And it's not just his ability. It's the way he does it. It's the passion. It's the way he rallies the troops around him. There's no ego there that you can see on the pitch, even though he's played at the very highest level. He's some player that the A-League's got this year. That was disappointment for Western United. Central Coast Mariners went 1-0 up from the penalty spot and lost very uncomfortably to Adelaide. Adelaide were fantastic away up at Central Coast Stadium yesterday. Gertjan van Verbeek has got his side humming along since the FFA Cup final win. I think that's their third win on the trot, Adelaide, and they couldn't win in the first two rounds. So really turned their season around.
Two games today, Mossy. Brisbane Roar versus Melbourne City in the Big Blue this afternoon, which I'm looking forward to this game. Sydney FC versus Melbourne Victory.
Yeah, that's right. Well, let's go to that one first, Ray. As you said, some real controversy around this one because it was moved from yesterday to today to accommodate the international players.
Yep.
It's worked for Sydney. It's blown up in the face of Melbourne Victory because their international players won't make it back in time by all reports. They've got players playing for New Zealand with Storm Roo, South Sudan, Burundi and the Oli Roos, Thomas Deng is away. Those players won't be back.
What do you think of that, Mossy?
Look, it all comes back to the root cause, and that is we don't have FIFA weekends.
Yeah,
we don't have FIFA breaks.
We should, shouldn't we, this season.
Well, we've had them in the past. We haven't got them this season for whatever reason. I'm led to believe the chairman and the CEOs made that decision without consultation with the coaches, which is disappointing because end of the day, it's the coaches' heads that are on the chopping block.
Well, and as a coach, you don't want to stand in the way of your players playing on the international stage, do you?
Of course not. What will happen, with no doubt whatsoever, is that coaches will put forward injuries.
We're not
on camera today, but I'm putting
sprained
up the inverted.
It's happened for years with our players in England. Remember?
Yeah, that's right.
It's got
exactly.
A sore
and you know, it'll be counterproductive. So, you know, FIFA breaks for me are an absolute must because you're not just talking about the Socceroos calendar. You're talking about the Oli Roos calendar as well. And that will lead to coaches not wanting to sign players who are in the Oli Roos frame, the under-23 frame, because they'll lose their, you know, their senior internationals and their 23s. So, yeah, not great. But anyway, Sydney FC get back Ryan Grant and Andrew Redmayne. So they'll be at or close to full strength. I think there's going to be a bit of spite in this one. I know Kevin Muscat's not there anymore, which is the great antagonist that he was. But Marco Kurtz, this will be new to him, the Big Blue. He had some big games against Sydney when he was coaching Adelaide. But you'll remember that 6-1 drubbing that Sydney handed out to Melbourne Victory to end their season last year. So that will still be fresh in the mind. Costa Barbarousis plays against his old club for the first time. There's been a lot on social media, a few snakes thrown his way, the snakes emoji. So, yeah, look, I'm really looking forward to this one. I think Sydney will win and win comfortably in the end, but beware for an opening onslaught of the first 15-20 minutes.
Well, just before we get to the Brisbane Melbourne City game, Sydney FC $1.50, Melbourne Victory $6. About right, do you think?
Yeah, look, I'm actually going to tip Sydney FC 3-1.
Okay.
I think, as I said, I think they'll win it quite comfortably in the end, but it will be tense to start with. There's no doubt about that. I'm expecting Netstrata Stadium, I think it is, Jubilee Netstrata now.
It changes all the time.
I'm expecting that to be absolutely rocking with Sydney FC fans. They had the bye last weekend, so their fans can't wait to see them in action again.
So the Roar are playing at Redcliffe. The Dolphin Stadium, because they had the U2 concert at Suncorp Stadium. I played there quite a bit when I was young. Rugby Union.
Okay.
Even though it was the rugby league field in Brisbane, Redcliffe Rugby Union went belly up and they had to, they got into financial trouble at their ground and they had to play at Redcliffe Rugby League. It's a great ground.
Yeah.
It's a great ground. And Redcliffe has a lot of money, obviously a big poker machine place and all that sort of stuff, but it's a real sort of stronghold, and it's a great ground.
Yeah, well, it will be great if Robbie Fowler can get the 3 points. It'll be not such a great setting if he doesn't, because they haven't won yet, and he needs to get off the mark. He needs to get Brisbane off the mark. It's not going to be easy against Melbourne City. They've been very good this season, very good, and you can really see what Mumba is doing with the squad, the style of football. I've said many times on air, Melbourne City really have to stand up this season and define themselves and stand for something in this league. And with the backing they've got, they need to win a title. And he's really taken them along in leaps and bounds. But Robbie Fowler is still very young in his management career and needs to get Brisbane off the mark.
Sounds like a game for City there.
Yes, I think they'll be too strong for Brisbane.
290 Raw, 240 City.
That's right. The only thing that may throw them is whether Brisbane have had a chance to get familiar with Dolphin Stadium. They would have played a few games there over the pre-seasons. But, I still think Melbourne City.
Mossy, I'm interested in your take on this slightly different subject. Marquee players in the A-League. We've always been told, go out and get more marquee players, get these big names. Really interested in what Richard Scudamore, an ex-EPL heavyweight, has said. He doesn't believe chasing the marquee players is the way to go. What's your take on that?
Well, this guy, Scudamore, took the EPL to a multi-billion dollar business. So he knows his stuff, and he's come out. He's out here this weekend. He was at the Mariners game last night, and he's going to be at the Big Blue this afternoon. And I really liked what he had to say. You know, he said, I'm not under the illusion that I can bring England to Australia and think that we're going to turn this into an EPL. But he said, you know, we have to, it's a slow burner. There's no silver bullet, and marquees aren't the way forward. What we have to do is create marquees. And I've always said this, to be honest.
Develop our own talent.
That's right. Yeah. We have to make heroes out of the players that we've got for the kids. Now, to do that, you need to spend money on marketing. You obviously have to have the players and identify the players and obviously develop them and give them their opportunities. But if we're not going to spend a lot of money marketing, I've got friends who are half rugby league football. They know when the rugby league season's starting. They wouldn't have a clue when the A-League's starting. Mm. And therein lies a problem. Then you've got to go to the individuals, market them, and get, you know, if I just think of one player, Riley McGree, who's burst onto the scene with that scorpion kick a couple of seasons ago.
Getting out there, yeah.
He should be on bus stops. He should be on the side of buses. He should be on...
As Breeny was saying, Pat Cummins has become... He's the poster boy for cricket.
He's the poster
Everyone
boy
knows
for cricket Australia
That's
now.
Right.
But I'll, can I ask you this, Mossy? So if we do that... But because when we've had the marquee players in the past, it's dragged in people from outside. Like, in my house... When Alessandro Del Piero was playing for Sydney FC. So my wife would watch, right? You know what I mean? Like, it drags in that way outsider. Now, we develop our own kids and everything, but then overseas clubs nick them. And I reckon the same's happening in rugby union. I think it's got the same problem. So how do you keep them?
Yeah, look, it's a really good point, Breeny. It is a good point because ultimately in our sport, we'll never be like rugby league where the best players in the world, and I say the world in inverted commas because it's not a big world in rugby league, but they'll play here at the peak of their powers. Yeah. Our players will always aspire to go to Europe. Yeah. It's where the bright lights are. It's where the big money is. It's just historically where you want to be at the peak of your powers. Mm. But there's nothing to stop us, A, keeping the really good kids here, and B, bringing players back earlier than when they're on their last legs. And I think they're the two areas that we can improve on. I agree with you. I had friends and family who would watch the A-League because Del Piero was here.
I know, it was just
Shinji
bizarre.
Ono, those type of players. Dwight York when the A-League first started. But I guess the point from Scudamore is it's not sustainable. You're not if you bring those players here, you're not getting them at the peak of their powers. So it's only a one or two season project. What happens off the back of that? How do we latch on to your wife? And probably not the right word again. But how do we keep your wife interested in the A-League once Del Piero's left? That's the key that's missing.
I'll tell you what would help would be if they finally build this new stadium at Moore Park, but anyway, it's still rubble on the ground at the moment.
Well, there's another
That's
argument.
An issue.
It is, because and this is something that Scudamore talked about as well, is the boutique football stadiums and the standalone. It is crucial we have a perfect playing surface. Look at that game today with Brisbane Roar. That's been taken away to Dolphin Stadium. No disrespect to Dolphin Stadium because we're sharing it with a music concert.
Rugby union.
Yeah, but we're sharing Suncorp with music. Yeah. We're sharing Suncorp with league, with union. Mm. You know, those things are counterproductive to our product because we need a pristine surface to play on.
Purpose-built stadium. World Cup qualified during the week. 1-0 win to Australia. Overseas against Jordan, still there's some criticism of Socceroos. Is that justified?
Or? Mate, anyone who's criticised that performance doesn't know football and they don't know
Asian
football. It's
so hard to win over there.
They've never won there.
Honestly, there was a couple of journos that I read during the week and I'm shaking my head. You know, it just goes to show you'll never please some, but get on a plane and spend a week with the Socceroos there and work out what the logistics are of players flying in from all over the world, the conditions over there, the surface over there. That was a magnificent first half performance and a more magnificent result.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to find a way to win these games. That was a banana skin for the Socceroos, which was well documented.
Get your 3 points and get out of
the
joint.
Fantastic result. And anyone who thinks differently doesn't know their Asian football.
Mm. Sam Kerr is going to Chelsea. Just finally.
Yeah, great move. Great news. Yeah, I do too. I said it last week, Ray. She had to make the move. I think it'll really catapult her into the Ballon d'Or discussion on a serious level now. I know she's been one of the shortlisted in the past, but this will really put her in that shop window. And I think it's great for the Matildas, obviously, but I still think it's great for the W League. Yeah. We've got a player who's really cut her teeth in the W League, gone to America, now she's going to Europe, and I think it's a fantastic move.
Can I tell you how far football's come and women's football's come, Mossy, by a radio report I heard the morning after they beat Chile 1-0 in Adelaide, right? So I'm listening to the radio about 7 in the morning on a mainstream radio station, and the lead to the story was Sam Kerr didn't score a goal as the Matildas beat Chile 1-0. That was the headline.
Yeah. Another negative journo, by the way, because I tell you, the positive was she'd scored 30 in 30.
I know. But isn't that fantastic?
Hey, Mossy, as always, fantastic. Very
pleasure.
Comprehensive. Thanks for popping in.
Good on you, Ray.
In next week?
Good on you, Breeny. Next week, I'm going to be away, Ray. Come to you from far and wide. Port Macquarie, actually.
Oh, mate, great part of the world. Hopefully the bushfires have cleared.
It's all settled down up there.
Yeah. Thanks for calling.
Good on you, guys.